Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, obviously you're glad you did that. Of course, as you know, we think anybody who continues to listen, you're pretty smart if you tune in, but maybe that could have been by accident. But if you continue to listen, that's a real sign of high intelligence. And that's the story that we're sticking to around here. Bill Treasure is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an old friend of ours. Bill is the founder of Giant Leap Consulting, which is an organizational development company. He is a former high dive specialist. He would light himself on fire, ladies and gentlemen, and jump into a pool of water. Now, You might think, I know some of you might be thinking, why would anybody do that? But small business owners, we almost do that every day. He's the author of Right Risk. He's also the author of Positively Mad. And he's our good friend, Bill. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's great to be here. I'll tell you what, if intelligence means that you've got listeners, and the more that they listen, the more intelligent they are, I must be off the charts with IQ because I listen to you all the time.
I appreciate that. What, can't you tell? Can't you tell how much smarter you're getting, Bill?
I tell you what, learn something every day.
Hey, I was just telling the audience, I wish you folks, if you haven't got Bill's first book, Right Risk, you almost should buy it for the cover because it shows him literally, and thank goodness the fire covers up the spandex there, Bill, but he's jumping off of a high dive. What is that? How many feet?
Most high dives that we did in the diving show were 100 feet. That 100. Particular photo is actually a lower high dive.
So we didn't have to know that. It's 100 feet, folks. He's jumping from 100 feet. He's absolutely a ball of flames jumping into a pool of water. And, you know, Bill, sometimes I think I know that small business owners do a tightrope act without a net. I know we work without a net every day. No, sometimes I'm sure some of us feel like, and I know I have felt like, I've been set on fire and pushed off a cliff in a small business. It can be tough, can it?
It can be very tough. And I think that the metaphor of the high dive, when you're standing at the edge of something that you want to do, you're right at that threshold, but you don't know whether you should. You don't know if you should. You don't know if you have the skills if you should. But every impulse of your desire wants to get off that ladder. What do? And yet you can't really be a small business owner. You can't be a successful entrepreneur. You can't be a leader unless you occasionally do some high dive.
Yeah, yeah. And this is where one of the very most important words, concepts, emotions, feelings, whatever you want to call it, has a lot of different different forms that it takes. This is where the thing courage comes in, isn't it, Bill?
Absolutely.
You know, I think courage is one of the most under-discussed, under-thought about, under-appreciated, undervalued things in the marketplace, and it's everywhere.
Well, what's so interesting to me is in the workforce, we'll go to workshops about moving your cheese. We'll go to workshops about being a better communicator, learning about conflict resolution. We'll learn our personality surveys. But we'd never go to a class in a corporate workshop that deals strictly with courage, and yet it is the lifeblood of leadership, entrepreneurialism, and innovation.
My definition of courage, I try to differentiate between courage and bravery, because I say, bravery, to me, if you're brave, is what you do in the moment. Something hits you and you react and it's, there's bravado. That's the otherwise, that's where the word bravery came from. There's bravado. There's the, men and women can have that. And you can do something very brave in the moment. Courage is when you do something brave after you've had time to think about it.
Yeah. In fact, that's a very good definition of it, because courage is not fearlessness.
Right.
Which is interesting, because courage is actually the full presence of fear, but acting despite the fact that you are afraid.
And a full awareness and appreciation of why you're fearful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so necessary in the workforce, and I believe, too, Jim, that it's more necessary now than maybe any other time in the American workforce, partly because there's so much anxiety and fear in the American workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And courage is always a response to fear. It's always an engagement with.
Why do you think there's fear and anxiety in the workplace?
You know, I think that it happens on many levels. For an individual, for an entrepreneur, for example, the first time you decide to take on your very first employee, that's a hair-raising experience for the entrepreneur. Going to a bank and getting a loan and deciding not to grow organically,
mm-hmm.
you're going to take a small business loan, that can be a hair-raising experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that for the rest of the folks that are not, say, small business owners, but just in the workforce, I think that there is an enormous amount of pressure on a short-term basis to be competitive.
Hold on to that thought, Bill. I'm going to let you. We're going to pick right back up on this. Folks, courage. You can't have leadership without courage, and you must have leadership for success. So we're going to come back after this break, and get Bill to talk to us some more about this very important thing, courage. Tony Till, stay with us.
Stand your ground. Don't let your bad breaks go getting you down. Even when times get rough and you had enough, you still gotta try.
What does it take to get you to do it or die, ladies and gentlemen? What does it take to get you to do it no matter what the people say? The people around you who say, you're crazy, that you're nuts. Why are you doing this? Why are you starting this business? You got a good job. Why are you borrowing against your house to start your business? Well, you know what? It's possible that they're telling you the truth. It's possible if you haven't done your homework, if you haven't done the research, if you aren't prepared, if you're entering into a field of business that you have no clue about what to do, then maybe they're telling you the right thing. But if you've done the homework, if you've done everything that you can do reasonably well to find out, to prepare yourself, and you're never going to have all the pieces of the puzzle. You're never going to have everything perfect. You're never going to have enough money. It's all small business owners are always undercapitalized and always will be probably. So you're never going to have everything perfect. But if you've done your homework and you think it's the right thing to do, and you now are prepared to put faith in yourself, you're going to need one more thing. You're going to need to apply some courage, because this is you've had time to think about it, and this is not time for bravery. This is time for leadership, and leadership takes courage. Right, Bill Treasurer?
You know, Aristotle said that courage was the first virtue because it makes all the other virtues possible.
I like that. Say that again.
Courage is the first virtue because it makes all the other virtues possible.
Think about that. That gives me a tingle, Bill. Thank you.
You know, and then Winston Churchill echoed the same sentiments later on in World War II. And in fact, ironically, the Catholic Church identifies four virtues, and courage is the first virtue for them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's always been there, and it's so ironic to me that it's magnificent in its importance, and yet we get no training on how to be more courageous.
Why do you think courage? Now, see, there's courage in abundance for small business. I know sometimes we don't think about it. We don't think it manifests that way. We don't value it. And that's what I want small business owners to do more of. I want them to think more about the courage capability that they have, how much they actually demonstrate courage, and they don't appreciate it. I think those are some of the intangibles that small business owners should pat themselves on the back a little bit more than they do. Don't you?
I love being around small business owners because I can relate to the experience that most of them have gone through, because I've gone through it. And I know that when I'm talking to an entrepreneur, whether it be somebody who opened a dry cleaning business or somebody who opened their computer service business, whatever it is, I know that at least at one moment in time, they had to have taken a risk that they demonstrated courage.
Right. But we were talking before we went to the break. I want to get back to this about why you think that there's not more courage in the marketplace. And I have some thoughts on that, but I want you to finish your thoughts on that.
You know, my thought is that it used to be a long time ago that the market pressures were always there, but there was a lot more of a long-term focus for companies. Now they're so quarterly driven that there's a hyper-pressure in most organizations, and in fact, what I would call a hyper-anxiety. And when your managers and senior people are leading through anxiety, they're always worried about, you know, sort of making sure that everybody's being productive.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, even though we live in the 21st century and we've learned all of these great philosophies from people like Stephen Covey and Ken Blanchard and all the great writers on management philosophy, and yet we still manage a lot of people through intimidation and bullyism.
Bill, you quoted a couple of smart people lately. I don't remember if you were the one this hour who quoted Shakespeare. But Shakespeare, as you know, said first thing we do, kill all the lawyers.
Right.
And I think if he came back, if Shakespeare were alive today, he'd say, okay, that still applies. But the second thing we do, kill all the analysts.
Yeah.
See, because, and folks, it's just, I'm just teasing about that. I don't really mean that. But what I do think is that Wall Street has not done the marketplace service by, as you said, the quarterly thing. I actually have had meetings with huge multinational companies where in the conversation about my proposal, they would talk about how it would affect the next conference call with the analyst.
It's amazing.
And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, in these multi-billion-dollar organizations that I have worked with, talked with over the years, and I'm not talking about people I do business with now. I'm talking about other people. What I'm asking them for is not anything that the analysts would be concerned about, but they had that on their mind.
Yeah, it's a fear-based decision, and it's a fear-based posture. And when people are operating out of fear and anxiety, they're not always thinking clear-headed. You know, I can remember being on two different phone calls with eight different people each time for over an hour.
Wow.
Think of that now, 16 hours right of time, of people's time, to craft a memo for the most senior person in the organization.
Wow.
We had to wordsmith it and get it exactly right before we sent it to the workforce.
Before you sent it to the attorneys, who could then send it back to you with corrections and then send it to the workforce.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Exactly.
You know what? I have a little thing that I've been saying in the last few years, and it's really unfortunate, and that is that sometimes the large companies who are so devoted to the analysts, the stock analysts, they're where creativity goes to die.
Oh, that's a great saying, Jim. It's so true.
But it's sad, isn't it?
It's very sad, and that's the way that it gets in the way of courage, because, and in fact, I think it hurts and harms the company. Because
I meet really smart people at some of these companies over the years, and they just they aren't allowed to bloom.
And they're afraid to make mistakes. They're afraid to extend themselves and have initiative of a new idea for the very reason of getting shot down. So they sit in their seats and they tethered to their computers and lose their creativity.
Hold on to that thought. I've got a question, ladies and gentlemen, and some of you have heard me ask this question before. We come back. I'm going to ask Bill this question, see if he thinks it would help to build courage, to develop courage, to value courage, to promote courage in your organization. Tim Till, Bill Treasurer, is our guest. His new book is called Positively Mad. When we come back, he's going to give us his website. Stay with us.
It'll take time, I know it.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. There is no barrier to entry. If you show up, we'll let you in. You can use all of our resources, including all of the past interviews that we've had with our good friend Bill Treasurer, also known as Captain Inferno in his high wire days, his high diving days, I guess, when they set him on fire. And the book is called Right Risk. That's the first one. The second one is Positively Mad. Bill, tell us where we can get them, and tell us about your website, please.
You can get them at any online retailer and Amazon and Borders, et cetera. And you can also get them through our website at www.giantleapconsulting.com. That's giantleapconsulting.com.
Bill, when we went to the break, I promised a question that I would that I wanted to propose. What can we do to get people in our organizations to have more courage? Well, I think what you got to do is let them believe that if they take risks and take initiative, I should say, and some risks within their scope of work, the authority that you've given them, if they take risks and take initiative, that if they fail, they must, if they're going to have courage and if they're going to push the envelope and bring you something that you can use, they must believe that when they do fail, that your response is going to be, what did we learn? I think that's the magic courage question. What do you think, Bill?
I think that it is so true. There has to be a certain tolerance for mistakes. Now, you and I know it, not habitual mistakes, but lessons that further the organization. I had an executive that I used to work with, and he said, Bill, look, I got to tell you that I think it's just as important that I pay attention to my mistake ratio with my people. He said that I have to make sure that my people are making at least some mistakes, because if they're not, it means that they're not innovating and they're not showing initiative. And he said, I'll let my people scrape their knees. They have to scrape their knees to be able to learn things, but I won't let them break their neck. And I think that distinction is important, that we have to let people in the workforce make mistakes, because those mistakes ultimately can bring us the innovations that we need.
Absolutely. You know, Bill, there's an old joke that the thinnest book in the world, the shortest book in the world, is titled Loan Officer Courage. You know, the bank loan officers, you know, they tell that on themselves, by the way. And we know that banks don't like to make bad loans. But a banker told me one time, he said, you know what? He said, if I don't charge off any loans, if I don't write off some loan that just failed or didn't perform, he said, I'm not making enough loans.
Right.
He knows that if he does his job right, and if he maximizes the opportunity out there, some of them are going to be mistakes.
I asked a senior person one time, when it comes to leadership and courage, what's the message you want me to convey to your workforce? And he said, Bill, I think it's important that my people have sweaty palms. And I said, sweaty palms? That sounds kind of unusual. What do you mean by that? He said, I got to make sure that my people are occasionally doing something that frightens them so much at work that the way that they know that they're into their courage zone is that their palms are sweating. And it's important that me, as their leader, engage in those kind of activities every now and then, too.
Mm-hmm. I talked to a guy yesterday who's an executive in a company, and he was telling me about, he's a good friend of mine, he was telling me about his some of the projects he's been working on where he pushed the envelope, and his boss, who's a risk taker, you know, said to him, you know, you should have run more of this stuff by me, and, you know, I'm going to have to ding you a little bit on your review, because you should have run it by me a little bit more. And I said to him, let me tell you something, you need to tell your boss, what would you rather be doing, holding me back or kicking me in the butt?
Right.
You know, in my opinion, that boss has a high-class problem.
It's a quality set of problems. I'd rather have an employee that I've got to rein in than I've got to sort of prompt to make work.
That's right. Then you got a thoroughbred when you got that. And that's the kind of folks small business owners must have, Bill, because we have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on. We have to have people who are taking action.
Hmm.
And they got to have courage. And we, as managers, we can give them that courage, can't we?
Well, we have to role model it first. We've got to be willing to make mistakes and provide air cover and have an opinion at work and stand up for positions and such. We've got to be able to transmit that and role model it for people and create that safety so they see us do it and want to do it too and see that it can be successful for them.
Mm-hmm. Bill, I got 20 seconds. Last thoughts.
You know, last thoughts is I think that it would help for the listeners to get clear on what they want at work. The most important thing is to remain relevant at work. The worst thing you want to do is be irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you remain relevant is by taking initiative and coming forth with ideas that matter. But you've got to be able to have courage to do that and sort of figure out what do you want to be relative to courage. Make the resolve that for this year, 2007, I'm going to be a courageous worker.
And when you bring a boss a problem, be sure to bring him or her at least one solution. Bill Treasurer is our guest. The book is called Positively Mad, also Right Risk. Thanks, Bill, for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
See you next time. Quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.